This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcasts across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning, another wet one today. The Mets somehow got that game in against the Blue Jays, and I wish they didn't. The Yankees end up having to reschedule with the Nationals in June. Can't finish the game, can't start another game. And when the Yankees don't play, and they've barely played this week, and the Mets have a day like they had yesterday, it turns out into a Mets bash day the next day, and they deserve a lot of criticism. There's no doubt about it. Their lineup is terrible. Zach Wheeler now another disgusting start. Yesterday was just one of those Met days when they're pouring the drying agent all over the field and... Yes, the wetness absorption. I mean, the Mets have had their wetness absorbed for like the last 30 years. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay, Gio. The best part of yesterday's game was when Ronnie and Gary were doing the baseball segment.
At the end, yes, I know.
Basically, the game's going on. They're not even paying attention, and Ronnie's going down memory lane. And by the way, Gary is like an encyclopedia.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
What's in
like,
his
head. You know, this guy, we traded him for John Stearns, and this guy went. I'm like, how the hell does he remember all these things? And of course, on the back of the baseball card, they obviously know who these guys are. But the other day, that was the best part of it. And how long have I been talking to you about the Mets lineup? How long have I been saying that the Mets lineup, and especially over the last month and a half, basically makes the other team's pitcher look like a Cy Young candidate?
Yeah, and yesterday was exceptionally bad. Really exceptionally bad with guys like Phil Evans and Guillorme and all these other guys.
I'm just telling you, though,
it's pathetic.
But this is what happens when you rely on older players to be the bedrock of your team. So you also said last week, and I want to give you credit for this, that Cespedes was going to go on the 10-day DL sooner or later. And sure enough, he went on the 10-day DL. You know, Bruce didn't play yesterday. I guess he pinched hit or whatever. You have Frazier's out of the lineup. Bruce has got the plantar fasciitis. Cespedes is now out of the lineup. This is what happens when you have older guys. They're going to miss long stretches of seasons. And, you know, this has just become commonplace with Cespedes. Every year, there is some sort of quad or muscle injury or something that just takes him out of the lineup, but he's gone and he's like missing. And you look at the lineup and you watch and you say to yourself, who was that?
Yep.
Where did that guy come from?
And that's not so, there's two things that happened yesterday that should not happen in May with a team that's got any sort of expectations.
And they're still 20-19, which is amazing.
Right. And the one is what you mentioned, that during a broadcast, they have to do a baseball card segment to keep themselves entertained.
Well, maybe Toronto was doing that the day before. I don't know.
Yeah, but still, it's too early. It was really entertaining, but it was entertaining and also depressing because I felt like that's something that should happen when you're 20 games under 500 in September. And also, you have several guys in the lineup that are just nobodies in Major League Baseball. Several. Lobatone, Evans, Guillorme. I mean, these guys are just
on top of your pitcher.
Nobodies.
On top of your pitcher.
In Major League
it's
Baseball.
It's not just nobodies. It's that they can't hit. And you know, look, I don't want to take anybody's dream away from them or anything, but you watch. I mean, I wish
they're not major leaguers.
Honestly, I wish Zach Wheeler would have pitched against that team. Yeah. You know, maybe Zach Wheeler would have come away with a win. He'd probably feel a lot better about himself than he does today. Who, by the way, I mean, it is so frustrating watching the Mets pitchers.
Yeah, they have been really bad.
I mean,
towards the bottom of the National League in ERA. And all this Mickey Callaway, Dave Vleeland hullabaloo we heard coming into the season has been just garbage so far.
Well, not
and
garbage so far. I mean, it started out great.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The facts are that they're like 12th out of, 15 teams. I mean, their ERA is atrocious as a staff. Now, I know a lot of that has to do with Jason Vargas has like a 45 ERA.
Well, the good news, though, is Jason Vargas is pitching to Todd Frazier, so Todd Frazier is going to feel really confident when he comes back.
Yeah, I know.
And that's what's going on right now.
And what I said, I just had a feeling they would do this. When Bruce came back and then Frazier, who can come off the disabled list on Friday, when these guys were coming back and getting close, that's when they were going to send Cespedes to the DL, and they did exactly that. And it also makes me think, like, this whole game of we'll try to throw him out there, we'll try to let him play through it and all of that. If he wasn't healthy enough to play, then just put him on the disabled list. But it seemed like they were stringing this along to get Bruce back from the paternity leave, to get Frazier back from the DL, and then it was like, okay, now we have enough major league guys who can hit a home run to be able to put Cespedes on the DL. And of course he ended up there. And God knows when you're going to see him again, if he's going to come back and he's going to look like he's healthier, he's going to be hobbling around again. It's just all falling apart. All the things that you expected, and we don't know how it's going to end up, but the stuff that we were saying about the Mets and the stuff that we were saying about the Yankees before they played a game, they're exactly what we thought they would be right now. Right now. Now, does that mean it's all going to stay like that? No. But the Yankees, they played one game this week, but still, the Yankees are doing amazing things. They're favorites to win the World Series now in Vegas, and the Mets are bad. They can't pitch. They're hurt. They're lineup stinks. They can't find answers from anybody on the roster. It really is typical and unfortunately predictable.
Well, unfortunately for them, you know, they're 20-19. They're in fourth place in the division, and they keep dropping. And they haven't won two games back to back since that 11-1 start. And it has been frustrating for sure. And I'm sure that it's maddening for Mickey Callaway and Dave Vleeland. You know, these guys were brought here to somehow invigorate or reinvigorate this starting staff. And just think about the amount of crap that Mickey Callaway has already dealt with. You know, you remember we were talking about Aaron Boone,
the adversity
and everything? Yeah. Aaron Boone knows no adversity. Mickey Callaway knows adversity. He knows what the hell adversity is all about because he is swimming in it right now. And not only swimming in it, I also think he's probably pretty stressed out over it, you know, because when you take a job like this, you're like, oh, this is going to be my first job. This is going to be awesome. And the way he came here and the way that he opened his first press conference and everything else, it's not like a reasonably good guy. And you want him to do well. And you feel like maybe he can get this new messaging towards the pitchers. Well, Matt Harvey's no longer here. Jacob DeGrom had a 45-inning pitch, first-inning situation last time out, and plus a hyperextended right elbow. You have Noah Syndergaard, who's thrown 105 pitches in five innings every time out. You have Zach Wheeler, who's just basically, I don't know how else to describe what's going on with him. It's almost like he's a mental midget. Like, he just can't handle whatever tough or situation that is thrown at him, and he can't handle it two games in a row.
Both him and Mats, I think, have the same problems.
It's really just frustrating watching them. So Mickey Callaway is living this now, and of course, yesterday was just a miserable, you know, let me tell you, yesterday was a Met day at Citi Field.
Oh, it was perfect. That was perfect like Met-dom. Yeah.
It's the Met world in just an absolutely awful, god-awful rain day. And I'm looking at those fans at the game. I'm feeling sorry for them.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that people did hang in, I know we had one caller yesterday, said he was tailgating and going to the game, and he was still excited about it, to be able to sit through that stuff. And if anybody was there at the end, I mean, sitting through that rain. And I know that Zach Wheeler had to deal with that long delay and where they stopped the game and then did all the poured all the stuff in the third inning on the infield. But I mean, be affected by one of those things for once?
I know this is kind of a weird deal, and I don't know all the little collateral damage that may come along with it, but If I were the owners of the Mets, I would have been out there shaking everybody's hands that was there yesterday and saying thank you for coming here. Hey, take the seats closer to the state, you know, to the ball, you know, to the infield if you like. You know, come on down. We want everybody to enjoy themselves. I give them free hot dogs. I would be over there patting all of those fans on the back and saying thank you for coming to this game today.
There's no way they did that, and you're right, they should have.
They wouldn't, but this is when you should do it. I mean, the team is reeling right now. The team can't find itself. The team has got older guys that are injured. They're playing guys you've never even heard of unless you are a hardcore dyed-in-the-wool Met fan who knows all the things that are going on down in the minor leagues and everything. And that was just they had a great game the day before. It was probably fun for those fans, decent weather, but yesterday was just miserable.
Yeah, and there is an example of that. I mentioned a friend of mine went to a Pirates game when it was snowing and said that people from the organization came down, gave them a free voucher to tickets to another game in the future. So there's other organizations that
do that. I'm sure they do something like that.
That'd be great if the Mets did that with the fans yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, and that's what's so frustrating about the day before they played so well. You think the offense is going to break out of it. Then they give you that lineup. I think April 18th was the last time that this team won back-to-back baseball games.
It's amazing.
It's a month ago. Yeah. A month ago. That's exactly who they are.
So Mickey Callaway's knee-deep in it now, isn't he?
Yeah, and it
or
doesn't
neck deep, I should say.
You know, and I don't. I rushed a judgment on him early, so I'm trying not to do that again when he's facing this adversity. But
it's not his fault, man.
I'm not saying it's his fault, and that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say was it seems like he's a little bit in over his head when it comes to dealing with a lot of these questions after games. It seems like. I don't know if he's dealing with that whole thing.
Dude, you wouldn't have the answers either. You'd be struggling because players that you've counted on, players that you know your team basically saved money by signing because you know nobody else wanted them, are either hurt and not in the lineup, or guys are not living up to what the expectations for them have been. Basically, as Drubal Cabrera is the only player that has been consistent throughout the year for the most part. I mean, he's been their best player. Now, other guys have had their moments, but, you know, this is a team right now that looks like it's rudderless, right?
Yeah,
where are they going?
And it's his job to find the rudders. That's the thing. And I just don't know if he fully understood this whole deal.
Oh, I'm
here.
Sure he did.
I don't know if he did, man. There's been a couple of people.
Well, what do you want him to say?
I'm not saying that what he's saying is where I'm getting this opinion from. There's a couple of people that have been talking about this off the air to me, and maybe you've heard the same stuff, that he might be a little bit overwhelmed right now, that he might be a little bit overwhelmed.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's a lot of negativity going on around this team right now, and, you know, the Matt Harvey thing came crashing down. You can go over every single player. Conforto hasn't found his stroke. He looks like he's lost at the plate. At times you think he hits that home run in Philadelphia, like, okay, here we go. And it's just been a struggle for him. I would say that Rosario has been somewhat of a disappointment. I don't know what else to tell you. They really don't have a legitimate team. They patchworked it together late. It's older players. This is what happens. You know, I think back to Matt Harvey saying coming out of spring training, oh, we're going to be a lot better than people think we are.
And he was right for 2 weeks.
And it's amazing. The team looks completely different now, and it's win-loss, win-loss, loss-loss, win. You know, I mean, it's so frustrating. And yesterday's game, for those people who want to, God bless you. I don't know how you did it. I don't know why you would do it. But at the end of the day, it's still a Major League Baseball game, I guess.
And it's injuries again. I mean, I know Jacob deGrom hasn't missed a whole heck of a lot of time, missed one start and then pitched one inning. So basically, we're talking about a guy who's missed two starts, essentially. But it hasn't been 2 months, so I guess that's a good thing. But now you got Cespedes on the DL. Todd Frazier, who was supposed to be this sprinkle magic fairy dust on the clubhouse and everybody was going to be great, he's been out of there for a while now. Jay Bruce missed some games. He's been dealing with plantar fasciitis the entire season and hasn't been any good. Conforto came off a big injury, and maybe that's contributing to the fact that he's hitting like... So it's injuries again. Even though it hasn't been like the big DL stand or this guy's having Tommy John or this guy tore a knee ligament or whatever, it hasn't been that, but it's still been injuries that have hurt this team. And it's just... It never ends. It absolutely never ends.
And I wonder if people in Mickey Callaway's life, once he decided to take the job and and all that other stuff warned him about what this could be like if this thing got off the rails like it is right now.
I probably not. They're probably really happy for him. He seems like a really nice guy. He's sitting next to Francona in that dugout in Cleveland, and everything's great.
He's working with the staff.
I
talked to a couple of the players. The players actually do like him. They like him a lot. They say he's a playoff. You know, he's a player's guy. He knows the sport. He's in tune to everything that's going on. But I know exactly what's happened. This is his first foray into this, and he's got a mess of a team right now. And you know, the manager has always handled that. You know, he's always been the guy that's watched from the outside. And now the manager, he is the manager, and he's got to live it. And he's got to live it in this environment, which is not easy. And I don't think he'll be wherever he goes after this. I don't know when that will be. Or what team it will be. Wherever he goes after this, he'll be so much better off as a manager in his next city. And I can't even believe I'm saying this after only 39 games.
Unless he's sitting in a rocking chair with a straitjacket at a, you know, in the corner of a mental institution.
But honestly, you know, when you look at teams, so I could see the Giants have Odell Beckham Jr., they got Saquon Barkley, they got Evan Ingram, they signed Nate Solder, they got Eli Apple coming back, Landon Collins coming back. I can actually see some excitement around that. When I look at the Jets, I see, well, there's Sam Darnold. They have some young players. They signed a couple of really top-end free agents. You know, a lot of these young players are starting to come into their own. And you're saying to yourself, okay, I could see the future there.
Yeah.
Right? The Mets have no future. There is nothing to, like, get excited about at all. Yeah. I mean, like, and then when you take a look at the Yankees, on the other side, there's future everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah, there's future that can't even start having a future because there's too much future. I mean, look at, like, guys like Clint
Frazier.
That's
a good point you just said there.
Right, it is. Yeah, Clint Frazier can't even have his future barely because there's too much future.
Or Drury was supposed to have a future.
Right, and he can't because there's more future there. There's future blocking future.
There's future everywhere.
There really is.
Right, except maybe in the starting rotation.
But even that, I mean, there's a couple of guys in Sheffield and Adams, but, I mean, you got Severino who's going to win a Cy Young, it looks like. So, yeah, every time we compare it to the Yankees, it makes you sick. But yesterday was just... It was the perfect Mets day to just hammer them because the Yankees don't play at all. It's raining. They're on display in the afternoon. They get crushed. They put that lineup out there that's one of the worst lineups I've ever seen in my life that the Mets have put out there. That was one of the worst. I'm serious.
I'm serious. Over the top, man. There were a couple lineups last year at the end of the year that were just like brutal.
Nobody's in this lineup. Cespedes is not in the lineup. Bruce is not in the lineup. Frazier's not in the lineup.
You got to give guys days off.
Come on. Lagares, Cabrera, Flores, Conforto, Evans, Guillorme, Lobatone, Wheeler, and Rosario. That's not one of the worst Met lineups you've ever seen.
And that's why J.A. Happ went as far as he did and limited it to two hits. And basically the Toronto Blue Jays finally got something they haven't gotten in a long time. And that's a pitcher that actually starts a game and goes at least six innings.
I mean, you're
can't say the Mets actually
five,
had that
six,
either.
Seven, eight, nine. I mean, think about it. You got Phil Evans hitting fifth.
I know.
You had Evans, Guillorme, Lobatone, and Wheeler in a row. And then Rosario, who is... I mean, he's a 254 hitter right now, but I mean, that Evans, Guillorme, Lobatone.
Yeah, wait.
Find me, I'm serious. Find me in the last 25 years
of five, six, seven,
in an order worse than Guillorme, Lobatone, and Wheeler. Five, six, seven, eight. Yeah.
And
Evans,
nine.
Guillorme, Lobatone, Wheeler. Five, six, seven, eight. Find me worse. You can't do it. I'm telling you, you could sit a baseball reference for like 7 days in a row looking up this stuff. You won't even come close. Evans, Guillorme, Lobatone, and Wheeler. This is the team. This is the team we were excited about at 11-1 and 12-2.
I'll tell you what, things change in a hurry, don't they?
Yep. Right, Evans, Guillorme.
By the way,
Sanchez, Stanton, Judge.
I know, and by the way, you know, maybe some other news that should be put on hold, too, and that's this whole thing at Monmouth Park and the gambling. So the New Jersey State Legislature is basically pumping the brakes on the whole thing right now. They want to make sure that they have the regulatory aspect of this whole thing on lockdown before they open up betting at Monmouth Park. And then also, you remember our guy Dennis Drazen yesterday, right, came on here, talked about what Monmouth Park is hoping for. They also filed a lawsuit basically suing the four major sports leagues and the NCAA for hundreds of millions of dollars, saying that they impeded them from making money starting back, I guess, in 2014 when they were ready to take bets. So he did not announce that on this show yesterday morning. They did announce that later on in the afternoon.
That would have been nice if he would have said that, for crying out loud.
Well, I don't know. I'm
break
sure.
a little news on the show.
Right, but I just think that we're all excited about this, and we've been talking about it the last couple, 3 days. I would just say, okay, everybody, just take it easy. The legislature's got to do its business. They'll get it straightened out, and before you know it, we will have betting. I just don't necessarily know that it will be by Memorial Day. He thinks it will be. I'm not so sure that it will be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.